Good morning.
I am Skip LaCour. It's a brand new day, and this is our morning connection, our ritual, getting together every single morning and discussing our love, our passion for bodybuilding, training, fitness, and an overall better quality of life. So how is your week going? Hey, do you ever have those times where you've just gotten way off track? You know, life got in the way and you want to be more disciplined, and not just with your bodybuilding training habits, your eating and getting to the gym, but also, you know, with your work. You were maybe in a groove and, you know, life got in the way and you just got all off track, you know, battling that that disappointment that you did fall short on your disciplines, all right? But you have that angst, that desire to keep everything going, get it right back up to that level that you've been working at. What do you do in those situations? Are you calm, cool, and collected? Have you gone through enough of those periods of time to know that all your muscle doesn't fall off, or it's just a matter of time if you just focus on the matter at hand? Before you know it, you're going to be back in your groove? Or does it really, really, really bother you almost to the point where you just dump all those good habits and those high standards that you set for yourself? You just throw your hands up in the air and you just wing it now, all right? What do you do in those situations? The last week has been just, my world has just been turned upside down and all around with just the most happiest, most loving, most connected moments, along with moments of just sheer frustration, worry, sadness. I've gone through an emotional roller coaster over this last week that, you know, I can talk about. I think there's a lesson. You know, one thing about these podcasts is, one thing you joining me for these podcasts is, you know, I'm like you. You know, my priorities are fitness, life, pushing myself to the next level. And if you're a person who listens to this podcast, I'm sure you're the same type of person. And so all the events, whether they're on the news or around town or things that you hear, they go through the filter of my brain of how is this going to make my life with my priorities better. You know, yesterday I used that Miley Cyrus controversy or whatever as a way of talking about how you should look at your bodybuilding and training efforts and how to look at fitness experts who give you the information so you won't have to go through frustration and information overload and all that confusion, right? So I look at the world, see what's happening. How can that make me better at what I do, right? And I know that you're the same way. So that's how I look at life. So this podcast is a way to the two of us who look at life the same way, how we can filter out all this information and see it from our lenses, right, to make our lives better. And so I'll tell you how, you know, my last week made me really think about a lot more about, you know, the topic of you getting information, feeling comfortable with it, because I know that's a big challenge for many people. And it's not just a challenge of getting going and feeling confident that you have the right strategies. So when you look in the mirror and you're not as lean as you want, you're not as big as you want, things don't seem to be happening as quickly as you want them to happen, then you won't be doubting everything you do. And then what everybody else says, it just confuses you even more. So my wife went into labor last Sunday night. All right. And so now here we are, it's Wednesday morning, and I'm crossing my fingers right now. You can't see me, but I'm hoping like the up and down roller coaster is going to be over for a little while. So it started Sunday. Our predicted due date was Monday. And so she went to labor, which we found out later to be, it was kind of like a false labor. It was just as painful for her. It was just that it wasn't really time yet. They weren't close enough or consistent enough. So we went to the hospital on Monday, and we're thinking, hey, wow, this is awesome. Medical science. which I'll get to, it's just so awesome. They predicted this day exactly, right? Well, we checked into the hospital, and they checked her figures. They checked the baby and everything. Everything was great. It was just that they sent us home because it wasn't time yet, right? And it was fine. Got to get my dog back from the kennel. We had all that prepared. So we got to come home, and more than just come home, we knew that it was still going to be a few days for the baby. So we can sit and relax and, you know, going through this. You know, she doesn't know what's going to be going on necessarily with her body. So we got to sit around for a couple of days knowing that it wasn't quite time yet. It wasn't like we're going to have this baby at any time. That's the good part of it. The bad part about it is the extreme pain that she was still going through, and it was just this false labor. So that was a really difficult thing for me to see the woman that you love going through, you know, so much pain, right? But, you know, I had to stay strong for her, like it's going to be all right, as supportive, helping her out, comforting her as much as I could. That's nothing compared to this whole journey, right? Anyway, so it's a couple days later. Now it's time to go in. Boy, I tell you, you know, she was really determined to have a natural childbirth. No, you know, pain relievers and epidural, hopefully no C-section. And that was in the plan. And she's a very determined woman. That's what she wanted. But when we finally went in, it was Thursday, and we went in on Friday. I mean, oh, she was knocked to her knees in pain all night long. And she was saying, you know, I think I need this epidural, right? So we went into the hospital, you know, on Friday mid-morning or so, and they checked her, and she was far enough along. She was really in the labor process. They admitted us, so everything's great. I had a great nurse at the hospital. You know, everything, it was like almost like one-on-one care all the time. Talked her through the whole process. You know, first-time mother, doing it naturally, it isn't the easiest process in the world, but, you know, she's a champ, pushed hard, and everything was great. All the signs of her, the baby, everything was great, except for that it was taking a while. So now here's the big day. She's pushing, the big moment. She's pushing. I see the baby's head. Everybody's, you know, all enthusiastic, all the signs. Everything's going well, encouraging that she's doing great. So the final push pushes the baby out. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever seen a baby actually being born. It is like the freakiest experience because they look nothing like a baby once they come out. First of all, their head has been in that canal. For her, it was like, you know, 2 hours. It seemed like the baby's head, this little baby's head must have been, it looked like it was stretched like a whole foot and a half, just the head part. And then the arms and the body, and that's all stretched out. You know, if you were a kid and you had those, you know, Stretch Armstrong dolls, you know, it was, you know, definitely, that is not what I really kind of expected. It was just, you know, stretched and long and anyway, right? Well, you know, there's a process when, you know, the baby is going through the birth process. If there's a lot of stress, like it's a long labor or hard labor, that it will, it'll go to the bathroom. There's, you know, the bile. And that's always a concern because if that gets into the lungs, the baby's going to have a big problem. So they saw some of that while she was delivering. So what they do is they call doctors to be on hand so that if that's just in case, they can pump out this bile out of the lungs. So they brought in two doctors, talking to them during their whole process. Anyway, it's just standard procedure. So anyway, so our baby daughter was born and she wasn't breathing. Now, my wife is down here on the bed. They bring her, they have this other table ready over to the side. And I am blocking my wife's view of all this intentionally. Now, I'm a real big person on body language. I really go pretty much on a person's body language rather than what they actually tell me. And, you know, I don't, you know, if somebody's, what they tell me is incongruent with their body language, I won't necessarily think that they're lying. I just think that there's more to the story. So I'm really like into body language. So, you know, I remember back in the days of competing, and if you've competed in a show, you know this. So they have the morning show and then they have the night show, right? And you always know how you're going to do end up in the contest by, you know, what you did on the morning show. And so in between, you're walking in the lobby waiting for the next show. You see the judges walking around. I could always tell how I was going to place by the judges' body language. You know, if it was relaxed when I went by, they recognized me and they may have looked my way. That means, damn, you were right on and awesome job, right? You know, and I think that, you know, the judges kind of knew that I was always gunning to win. I wasn't there just to show up. So anything less, I would see a more reserved body language and then I'd worry. But, you know, it was always pretty consistent. So, like I said, I'm really into the body language and I'm very conscious of my body language, that it's congruent with what I'm saying and what I'm doing, because I think that I know that we as people, we pick up on this on a subconscious level, right? So my thing is protecting my wife from any potentially bad news that may happen. God forbid, right? But things did not start off well for our baby daughter, Brooklyn. She wasn't breathing, and they were working it. And I'm over there looking, and at the same time, I'm very conscious that I have to have a positive, you know, happy, confident body language for my wife, who's looking up. Because, you know, usually they just take the baby right after it's delivered and slap it on the mother's chest for that bonding. They didn't do that because they had to take, care of that. And I'm looking over there, one eye, and I can tell by these two doctors' body language that things weren't going well. The baby was gray. It was not moving at all, and it certainly wasn't crying. And they were going, come on. And one thing that they were doing, now I didn't know this at the time, like they pick up the arms and the legs, and to me, all they needed to do is that it didn't just flop down, that as long as there was some resistance, that's what they were looking for. And that's what actually the baby was doing. So when they picked up the arm, even though it wasn't moving, it didn't just flop down like a lifeless body, right? It gave some resistance. But I thought, you know, not knowing what was going on, I was thinking that they lifted it up so it would move. And arms, legs weren't moving. Gray. I mean, blue. And my wife's going, you know, Is everything okay over there or whatever? She's, you know, she has no reason to assume anything's going wrong, right? And I just confidently said, oh, yeah, no, everything's great. And I was just lying. And I did my best to have the confident body language because I had to protect her from that. Now, she was trying to peek over me, and I was intentionally widening my body and putting at an angle so she couldn't see what I was seeing. And it seemed, I don't know how many minutes it actually took, but it just seemed like, you know, forever. Then what they did was because there were no signs, she wasn't breathing. They, you know, hooked up the monitor that, you know, does all their, you know, whatever readings, right? And so they plug that in. And again, you know, I don't know what's necessarily going on. I'm just having my assumptions. But so they plugged it in, and then you just see the LED meter, and it's just blank. It's just a line, did it, a straight flat line, right? Where it should be, you know, shooting off some numbers, right? And what was actually going on was the numbers weren't registering yet, right? It wasn't that there was no numbers to be registered. It just took a while, you know, for the readings. And it seemed like that went on, like, you know, for, I don't know, a good couple minutes. And everything's moving in slow motion for me, right? And so I just see this flat line. No life, gray body, which just seemed like forever. And my wife's over there going, is everything okay? And I tell you, that was like the worst moment in the world. Everything was sinking, because up until that point, just everything was awesome, amazing, positive, this and that. And I'm just going, God, this can't be happening. These are the moments in life where you make those deals with God. You know what I mean? Like, God, if you just did this, I will never doubt your existence again, or whatever. Just anything. It can't end this way. You know? This can't be the way that it's happened. And not for me. All I was thinking about was my wife at that time. Because, you know, it's like, I can go through pain. I can go through disappointment. My thing was, I did not want my wife to have to go through what we've spent 9 months and just putting it, our hearts out there. And, you know, that's another thing. As I tell you about my manformation, my journey, my issues, my challenges that I continually work through life, is one thing is just like going for it, expecting the best in life on situations that aren't in your control. And I know we as bodybuilders, we have a lot of these same type of issues. Well, I've been working through those issues, you know, trusting that things will work out, other people will do their job, and instead of relying so much on myself, well, you know, having a baby, that's definitely not in your control. And I definitely was not in control, you know, of the events at this time. And so this whole thing, you know, has been hard for me. Even, you know, I started these podcasts, I mentioned this before, is that, you know, I wanted to start making this connection with you, with these daily podcasts. I have a video series coming out. But, you know, in the back of my mind, I kept on saying to myself, no, I'm not going to start these until after the baby's born. And I'm going to tell you, I still have these things that crop up in my head that, you know, protect myself from the worst case scenario happening. And I'll tell you, I was saying, no, yes, no, no. The decision to actually start the podcast, I had to override my, you know, natural conditioned way of thinking of, don't do this just in case things don't turn out well. Do it after the baby's born and after we get out of this, because you don't, and I'm telling you, these are the conversations that I had before I even started these podcasts a couple weeks ago, right? Don't do it just in case something goes wrong. Now, again, if you're like me, the people who are really attracted to this whole bodybuilding and training lifestyle, you may not know it, but that's what gets us so focused and so determined on the eating and the training and the discipline and not depending on other people because we don't have to and we can excel. It's only ourselves to let down. The people who generally, okay, this isn't true of everyone, and you may or may not think this applies to you in your case. Generally, the people who do that, it's because of issues of not trusting that the world is going to work out the way it says it's going to work out. And so instead of relying on those situations that aren't in your control, you know, like deep connected intimacy, intimate relationships, you know, work situations, something where you rely on a lot of other people for your success or failure, happiness, or your sadness, you avoid those situations. I didn't realize all that, but that's also what made me such a committed, outstanding bodybuilder, is what gravitated me to this bodybuilding training lifestyle. And so a lot of you guys may want to think about that, and it took me a long time to figure all this out. So for me, just throwing it up, offering it as a podcast, and then you just totally accepting it and see where that may apply to your life. I don't know. You tell me. You tell me if you can understand what I'm saying. I don't know if, while I was winning Team Universe overall championships and spending every single day trying to have the best physique and writing articles and being on the internet answering your questions right in the thick of things, I don't know if I would have understood all this. It would have been just a logical, hey, I'm doing what I was put on this earth to do. I'm doing my talents. I'm doing something honorable. I would not have realized that the other side of that was that I was really avoiding intimacy, connection, and situations that weren't in my control, that I was fearing those situations. And because I had something to replace them, I didn't know what I was missing. I'm continuing to understand that now, right? So I don't know if I would have, somebody would have told me this, what I'm telling you now, if I would have thought it applied to me. So you tell me if you can relate, to these things that I'm saying. And I'm going to talk more about this because I really want to help you become the best that you can be and have the best overall quality of life, right? And use my pain, my experiences, my good times, my bad times to help you get farther along in the process that took me a lot of work to figure out. So, you know, getting back to the baby, so it wasn't breathing. I was looking at that monitor. It was a flat line. I have this vision in my head of this flat line on that monitor, which again, later I found out it just was taking time before it started registering the numbers. All I saw was three dashes of LED lights, a gray baby that wasn't moving and certainly wasn't crying. And the body language was of the two doctors. I can say they seemed confident, but they were concerned, all right? And I think they were conscious of how they presented themselves, you know, to me, too. Anyway, so they put the baby, on my wife's chest. And they even let us take pictures, and that's one of the pictures you see. Maybe you're on my email list or Facebook or even the bodybuilding.com message boards. That's the picture that you saw. Again, you see how happy my wife is because she has no idea what was just happening, right? But they immediately took the baby and took her away to ICU and did all the checks, intensive care, ICU, for those who don't, you know, aren't familiar with that term. So the baby went to intensive care. They immediately hooked her to oxygen and was washing her. Now, the good thing is she made a great recovery that really didn't take a lot of time. They put a little apparatus on her nose to help her with breathing. So, you know, she pretty much, you know, coughed out, but they took the x-rays, the blood test. They gave her IV, you know, to feed her. And so she was in intensive care for that first day. And like I said, she made a good recovery, just great recovery, kind of coughed it out, started breathing on her own. So, you know, so we're out of the woods, right? Right. So she joins us in the regular hospital. Everything's, you know, going well. And then she has jaundice. Now, that's something that's common in babies. And that's when they turn yellow because their liver isn't working yet. The baby's livers aren't working yet. And they, you know, produce what's, you know, basically, you know, turns out as, you know, the bile, and the body kind of just processes it. Well, at the beginning, they can't process it. And part of the problem, too, is that they're not eating yet. The mother's milk isn't fully in, because when you eat, it will help process all of that out. Now, this is, and I mentioned this on a previous podcast, all this frustration that I had with all these doctors, because, you know, they aren't in agreement with a lot of things, right? And you know what you should take away from this? If you're worried about, oh my God, all these fitness experts, they don't agree on, you know, time under tension during training or how many reps or what's six meals or two meals or one meal or whatever. You know what, guys? Do not let that bother you. Do not fret. Do not throw up your hands in frustration, overwhelm, because I, in a way, hope that one day you can gain the insight that I have gained by being in the medical profession. I mean, this isn't some 22-year-old YouTube guy telling you the right and wrong way to eat and telling you how the body works. These are doctors with at least 13 years of education plus practicing one thing. They're not a kid on YouTube throwing up some YouTube videos and then he goes to his job, you know, I don't know, at the accounting office at best, or the mechanics office, who's, you know, part mechanic, part YouTube nutrition expert, right? Or going to school for, I don't know, liberal arts, who's telling you the right way to do things. These are doctors who don't agree on how everything works. And if you could have gone through that process, you would come back to this bodybuilding training and not let all that science, and what they all disagree with in the right way and sets and reps, that if they can't agree over there, how are they going to agree on something as really silly in the big picture? Or it's not necessarily silly, but so many people, it's not a life or death situation to have build muscle and lose body fat. So if they don't agree over there, if you saw and experienced what I did of what they don't agree with on basically that are really life and death situations, All right. There is no exact science over there. There's an art form and an intuition that goes along with their education in the medical field. All right. So if it's that way over there, you should be able to see why you're not getting the same answers in this bodybuilding and fitness area. And don't let it distract you. Just take it all in. You're ultimately going to have to come up with your own decisions. That's probably one of the biggest takeaways that you should take from my story. Again, you know, I'm really not here to tell you a story about, you know, my baby Brooklyn and what she went through. You know, I'm telling you the story so we can go look through those filters, those glasses of what we want most, bodybuilding and training, take it to the next level, and see what we can learn by life situations. All right. So we're with the baby in, you know, regular offices, you know, our families visiting, everything's great, but she's developing jaundice, turning yellow, which is, again, is a common thing in babies for the reasons why I mentioned not getting that food, not the liver not working quite yet. But there's different levels, all right? So let me just tell you another thing. In the medical profession, they're not going to take any chances. They're going to take a million tests, and anytime a test shows even, you know, a small chance that something could go wrong, they're going to take the next step and the next step and the next step. They're not going to make themselves liable, all right? So they take the test, and, you know, basically how much of this, let's just call it, you know, the buildup, all right, for this, you know, jaundice. It's like, you know, there's a white zone, there's a gray zone, and then there's a black zone. And they kind of determine it for how old they are and where they predict it will be, because this jaundice can be something very serious if it gets too high. And so now here's where the numbers are. Well, what is too high? What's not too high? They don't agree. They're all just guesses, right? So she was in the black zone, which is the my daughter was in the black zone, which is in the extreme or the high risk zone. All right. So that's what a reading is when, you know, here's another analogy is the body fat testing versus underwater dunk tank testing or whatever electroimpedance type body fat. So they have this machine that they just point at the skin and it gets a reading. And let's just say that was like 16 and a half, which is a high number in the black zone. Well, once they get that reading, that's in the high zone, then they go do a blood test. So that first reading, they don't even really trust that. That's just like a gauge, right? Well, the blood test has it come back at 9. Okay, so that's not in the extreme zone. It's in the moderate zone, right? So that's a, you know, that's quite a bit of difference. And I guess I should throw in what I was told the whole time is that if this gets up to 20, mental retardation can set in. Now, remember I said that. So I'm going through all this. It's at 16 and a half. And they said if it gets up to 20, that's when they're worried about mental retardation. All right? So they don't want to touch it. So after a baby's born, then it becomes your doctor's responsibility to make decisions after that. So it was time to check out, you know, the baby's, now the blood test says it's at 9, it's in the gray zone, right? So the doctor made the decision to just, you know, release us, let us go home and all that. We had a doctor's appointment the next day. So, oh, we're all happy, and we're assuming that this jaundice is going to go away regardless of those numbers, you know. And the other thing, this battle, is they have this whole big battle over formula versus breastfeeding. I mean, and I'll tell you, you can have 5 different doctors and nurses come through and they all have different opinions of the value. There's a big controversy going on. The reason why that's a big deal is, okay, the baby's start wasn't breathing. The baby now has jaundice. And now we're having this battle over, we're not having a battle. Just tell us what to do. Does that sound familiar when it comes to your bodybuilding training? You just want the fitness experts to just tell you what to do, right? Again, that's another lesson I learned through all this. And so, you know, he's really about formula, which we, you know, she did this birth naturally. We plan on breastfeeding, but I guess there's so many lazy mothers out there that just go right to formula. There's so, some of the doctors are so staunch against that. But again, the baby has to eat during those couple of days to get out all this buildup to get rid of the jaundice so it doesn't go up to 20, right? So we go for the office the next day for our checkup, right? After being released. So we go to the doctor's office and he goes, the jaundice has gotten worse. Now you may need to supplement with formula. I'm thinking, no, I am going to supplement with formula. That's not even a question. So here I am with no medical experience whatsoever. I'm making a decision of the life of my baby. I'm just stepping up and making the decision. I don't care what he says, what debate he's in of science versus this camp formula, that camp of breastfeeding, whatever. So we had to go to this other place to get the blood test to see where this buildup level was, right? And so we immediately go home first. I have a, pump the baby with formula, and then we go do the test. Well, guess what? So when the test came back at 5 o'clock the day before yesterday, the levels were 16 and a half again. So now the doctor's talking to me and he's going, okay, now here are some things we can do, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just thinking, it's 16 and a half. 20 is mental retardation. He goes, well, I couldn't get this one pad to be delivered to your house, a little heat lamp. So you can go into the hospital and they can do it overnight there. That should be able to bring it down. Or you can tough it out to the morning. I'm thinking to myself, first of all, why am I making this decision? What the hell do I know, number one, all right? I'm just going by the numbers that they're telling me. So we get in our car, we go to the hospital. So, last night, so we spent all night in the hospital under these lamps to get ready. Okay, so feed, pumping her with formula, regardless of this silly debate that they got going on, feeding our daughter. She just didn't eat those first, 12, 16, 18 hours to pass out. So everything's great. Levels go down to 9, blah, blah, blah. We go home last night. We're finally home, hopefully for good. And, but the thing about it is, so I'm talking about, with the nurse, you guys need to get this whole formula, breastfeeding thing. That's your debate. That's not our debate. Just tell us what to do. And she goes, I know. We're seeing all these babies with jaundice because they haven't eaten. And I'm thinking, oh, it's like these doctors, they're so biased one way. Are they made on emotion rather than on the scenario? Right. And then I'm talking to her later and I go, yeah, well, it's a good thing because she was at 16 and a half and 20 is mental retardation. She goes, no, that's not true. Who told you that? I go, what do you mean? You think I came up with that number? You think that in my studies, in my travels, while I'm creating mass machine nutrition products, I'm pumping out products, writing information for you, somewhere I took the time to figure out what the jaundice level is? Do you really think I came up with that? One of you guys told me that. Oh, no. That was based on some 1940 thing when they didn't know this or do that, blah, blah, blah. No, 20 wasn't the number. I'm going, so 20 wasn't the number? Oh, no. That's, she was much too low to begin with. Well, first of all, I don't care. I don't care how much it cost. I haven't gotten the bill yet for that day in the hospital, this or that. But see, where I've got to make these decisions and all their information is not black and white science from these doctors, these scientists, and I'm forced to make these decisions. I am just like, going, whoa, I have, those are great people, great nurses, doctor, but I'll tell you something. If you think that medicine is black and white and that you're going to go to this God, coming down from heaven that'll say, do this, and do this, and therefore you will get well. And I'm telling you, I pretty much had that impression of the medical profession. It's not like that. All right. And if it's not like that over there, you should not be at all concerned. Still, you got to make your decisions. You got to take that information. It wasn't like the information that I got was useless. But the bottom line, I have to find out. Because you're not, I hear this in the bodybuilding training world. Oh, you think you're a special snowflake. Well, you know what? When it comes down to probably most of it, you're not a special snowflake. The human body works generally the same. But it's the 5% that makes the difference. That's where you need your experience and sensory acuity, what's going on, to make adjustments or find a coach who will just tell you what to do. That's where the difference is made. That's where the anxiety is made, by the decisions that aren't black and white. And they're not black and white, regardless of what anybody else tells you. All right, because if they're not black and white in medical science, things that happen all the time, they're not going to be black and white on building muscle and losing body fat. And again, I'm just telling you all this, giving you my perspective, so that you don't let all this, these experts telling you all this stuff, throw you too far off course. Listen, make adjustments, find out what works for you. You know, there are things that fitness experts like to criticize that are just, you know, flat nonsense that have been passed along. But it's those upper level type strategies that they make black and white that are the most debated. The one, you know, look, if someone says, I don't know, carbs after seven or whatever, something like that, you know, you're not going to get this big controversy over that. All right. That's a bro thing or whatever. That people don't, you know, there's not debates over that. The issues that they have debate, there's a reason why there's a debate. And you just need to remember that. All right. And the other takeaway from that is that, wow, how can I as a coach, right? How can I prepare you when you come to me for information and you want it black and white? And I know you want it black and white. How can I feel that need that you want for it to be black and white, right? But I have to prepare you that you're going to hear all these things that are different, that you can't build muscle with 4 to 6 or 6 to 8 reps. That's for getting strong. It's not for building muscle. How can I give you the certainty and confidence so that you can do it and train it without, you know, going into all the other theories that you're going to hear? Because you're going to hear them and then you're going to come back and say, well, what am I supposed to do? He says this, he says that. You see the challenge there? You know, maybe I'm rambling now, but, you know, maybe tell me, how do you want it? You know, maybe when someone asks me a question, the first qualifying question I should have is that, look, there's a lot of different ways. You want me to just give you what I know will work for you, and at the same time, knowing that you're going to hear different things, and you tell me yes or no, and I'll say, do this, do this, do this, do this. So I've already prepared you that you're going to hear other things, and they're going to tell you it doesn't work, or that's not optimal, or whatever, for whatever reasons. So I can leave all that out, and I can just tell you what to do. You tell me how you want it. And that's the way you need to look at it as you're going for information. All right? That's how you have to go about it. You know, my doctor, he's very conscious of all the other different opinions about everything, right? And so when he presents this information to me, he tells me what he thinks, but he also tells me the three different things that are being debated on that same issue in the medical community. And I told him, I said, look, you can tell me 5 different strategies. I can't interpret the information. I don't have the background to even know what you're saying. You know, a 20 means something to me, which may not mean something to you, unless I go through your experience, I get your education. We won't even be speaking the same language. So you can be telling me stuff, I won't comprehend it all. Don't give me 4 different ways, because I can't make the, so you give me 4 different people's opinion. I have no experience to, you know, to make my own decision from those 4. I have no experience. Don't ask me. I can make a decision, just like you guys. Oh, I need to build a better chest. I'll do 18 different exercises, 5 sets each. I can come up with those decisions based on no experience at all. I have no problem making decisions, but it's you're the expert. You tell me, even though there's 3 other different opinions, but don't give me all 4 at the same time. I don't know. Maybe I'll follow up on this rant later on. You tell me if this was helpful. Anyway, have a great day. And I'll see you tomorrow for our morning connection. Give me your feedback. Like, retweet. Tell me if this is helping. Your emails have been great. It's been helping me go in the right direction. Thank you for supporting Skipple Core's Mass Machine Nutrition. I really appreciate that. Thank you for supporting my information products on skipplecore.com. Thanks for visiting and contributing to my Facebook page, facebook.com/SkipLacour page. All right. Let everybody know about this. Like it. I tell you, when you like it, when you share it, It gets everybody involved. It makes this even more worth my time. You can tell that I really enjoy connecting with you this way, all right? But I want it to make it more than just, you know, entertainment. I want it to be something that's helpful to you and helpful to me if I'm going to invest this time in you. So if you want to keep this going, we got to get the word out. We can't just, I can't, as a businessman, just create a great product that I love to do that's touchy-feely and helps you if it isn't worth the time invested. All right, remember that. Like, you know, I've got 4 pallets to go unstack myself. I got to get back in the gym today. I've got labels, new products that I've been designing for you. I've got to do the art, finalize the, improve the artwork. I've got, manufacturing, people that I need to talk to. I mean, this is all that I just have to do today. And, you know, I am taking the time to connect with you because I know there's a value. You have to tell me that you're appreciating and accepting this value. And, you know, I hope one thing, I've been going through this thing, this my last week of this hell, this up and down emotional roller coaster. You notice I never missed doing this for you. I came back from the hospital to come to my home office to record this for you. So I am committed to you. I want you to be just committed to getting this word out if you find this information helpful. I'm just asking you, like it, retweet it, get more and more people involved. So I'm helping you and a lot of other people at the same time. For this time I invested, you know. So I'm going to just end this on a good note. I'll tell you something. God, I am more in love with my wife than ever after going through this. There is nothing more beautiful to see a woman transform from a single woman to a mother. And she is such a natural and such an awesome mother. That's got to be the most beautiful, beautiful thing that I've seen. And I'll tell you, it just warms my heart just even thinking about it. And it really makes me think about, you know, my man formation, where I was years ago, fearing intimacy, not really knowing it, pushing it away. And to have this feeling in my heart that I never knew that I wasn't even coming close to, and I wasn't never going to have, thinking the way that I was thinking, to have that. It makes me, you know, so proud of the work that I have done myself. Again, the thinking, the overall life quality, that I am so fortunate to have picked the woman that I have as my wife and as the mother of my child. You know, I'll tell you, when I was winning those contests and going through that isolation, Spartan lifestyle for a purpose, would have never known this was ahead for me. And you know, if you are, you know, whether you realize it or not, or you think you might be kind of experiencing some of the same things and you want to get over to the other side, maybe listening to these podcasts. There'll be some things that you pick up so I can help that process, help you get through that process. All right? So have a great day, and we'll connect tomorrow.